Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We never have fought over the meeting.
It is the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning. Patrick Ahern is in, and this is really an all-star. Patrick, we always have good shows. When it's just you and I, it may be the best.
Yeah.
But we've added a couple of people today, just all-time favorites, and we're going to meet everybody in just a second. But Wizard of Oz through July 14th.
It is.
Take your family. Yeah. Go see it. Take your neighbors, kids, it's worth seeing.
It's delightful. And let me tell you something. I think people are hearing about it now because the buzz is big. A lot of people, I think, put it on the back burner. And they went, oh, Wizard of Oz, we've seen that movie a million mm-hmm. one times. And there's probably other shows we'd rather see. And I've talked to a lot of these people because they're in our audiences. And as recent as Wednesday, three different people said to me, we weren't going to come. Oh, my God, I would have been so upset if I missed this. This is something else. And it is. It's unlike anything we've done, I think, at Riverside. The set is immersive.
The set is fabulous.
Yeah, it's a terrific set. It works very well for the show. A lot of people have said it almost is like the movie comes to life. And the cast is extraordinary. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of Wizard of Oz's out there. And everybody just kind of, you know, it's one of those shows where, well, I guess you can throw it up there and it'll sell tickets and it's the Wizard of Oz. I can't do that.
No.
You have to bring some heart to it and make it special. And I think we have a winner.
Well, we have a winner in the studio today. We've got two winners. Kathy Holland has been here a bunch of times. Kathy, it's so good to have you back.
Always good to be back, Ted. I adore you.
The Wicked Witch of the West, and we'll get into that. And then Robert Biederman is here. Robert, you've been here a number of times. You just stand out because you're a terrific guest, too, and terrific on the stage.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. But I think it has a lot to do with that I'm getting old. Old. Now in my 70s.
Well, you don't look it, but you look like the wizard. I'll say that your hair is. How did you get your hair? Is just it's. You
look, I grew it.
It looks as though you came from the set and that you hung around Judy Garland and now you're here in studio.
I was around then.
Casting this movie, this is our second show of Wizard of Oz, Patrick, and Dorothy and the others. They all fit. These two certainly fit.
Oh, of course. I mean, Kathy Alendo was born to play this role.
Yes, born.
I think so.
Mean and green. I was born to be mean and green.
And Robert's done this role a million and one times. He's had a history with this show.
I wonder. I was going to ask you about that. So you have done this.
I did a Canadian-America national tour for 27 months, 193 cities. And 601 performances of I Am Oz.
So yeah, you've done it a little bit. And it's just again, it's just, the stage you mentioned the stage. It's so different because it's so big. It comes right out into the audience.
Well, I always wanted to do something that was immersive. You know, we've got that floor. I've often thought about sometime using just the floor as a stage and putting some seating up on the stage and, you know, so that it's like in the round and doing something, you know.
Oh, I could totally see you doing that.
Like if we ever do Rocky, we could put the ring right there on the floor, you know. But I don't know if we'll be doing Rocky. But no, it worked out beautifully. Christian Fleming, who is our set designer, we talked a few times. I told him what I was looking for. And we came up with this wonderful spiral that, you know, is it's got depth, it's got height. It's just perfect because it can act and be so many different things. It's a one-unit set, but with the projections and the lighting, you're transported to many, many different locations. So it's perfect for what I wanted, and I'm very pleased, very happy.
Well, and Robert, to be part of a show that's just so iconic, especially if you're at our age, you remember every year watching it.
My first time was when TVs were getting color. And only the rich people had color TVs.
Yeah.
So a group of the boys went to this kid's house to watch Wizard of Oz. And it starts black and white. And we thought the TV was broken. And then all of a sudden it gets to Oz and all those colors. Yeah, I remember that. And I watch it every year. I never get tired of it.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, do you remember watching it?
Yeah, but we had an old black and white Zenith, so I never knew it turned to color until much later. I loved it. It was black and white the whole thing.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
But it's, the magic of watching that go from black and white to color when you're young was really great fun. Yeah.
So did you ever imagine watching it as a kid that someday you would be the witch?
No, but I remember because I was 5 when I got the bug for this. You know, applause and loving people and people liking me on stage. So I was already on stage in my church singing and, you know. So I already knew I was an actor, performer, but I did not think about the witch because I was far too nice. I was a Southern Baptist little 5-year-old girl. I was so sweet for a little while. I really was. I was so sweet. Then things changed. I became a little bit of a rebel.
Wow, there was a turn there that I wasn't.
I was so sweet.
That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, if you were to be part of the kid, what is there a role in Wizard of Oz if you could be in it that you would want to be?
Gosh, that's a good question.
Tin Man,
the flying monkey.
Well, my if I had to go quickly, I would probably say the Scarecrow.
I was going to say that.
But the Tin Man is a. I don't know. It's real, and there's something about him that's gentle and kind. So maybe the Tin Man. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We have a great Tin Man. Ari is wonderful.
Yeah, he is.
They're all so good.
They are. Yes. Yeah.
And really great people too. They're just really sweet people.
We take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue on. Patrick Ahern is here this morning from Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, Wizard of Oz through July 14th. Robert Biederman here along with Kathy Halenda, riversidedt.com. Get your tickets. Don't wait. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning and The Wizard of Oz through July 14th. Kathy Halenda, Robert Biederman, and Patrick Ahern here this morning. RiversideDT.com. Get your tickets there or you can call and get them, but RiversideDT.com. I just learned one of the greatest pieces of trivia that you started acting in The Wizard of Oz, Kathy Halenda, as
Toto. I was fabulous.
Wow.
I was really great.
Wow.
And I wasn't 5. I think I was 8. So it was definitely elementary school.
Yeah.
And my Mrs. Miller, our teacher, was so sweet and pretty. She was such a nice lady. And she had auditions for Wizard of Oz, and I was so excited. And I auditioned for Dorothy. All the girls wanted Dorothy, and I just knew I was going to get it because I was already singing in the church. I was already singing solos.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got this wrapped up. And so we auditioned, and we never heard anything. And every day, Mrs. Miller, have you cast the Wizard of Oz yet? She's like, I'm still thinking. She finally came to me. She sat me down after class, like a special meeting with just me. And she said, Kathy, I'm having the hardest time casting this show, Wizard of Oz. And I was like, why, Mrs. Miller? And she said, because, you know, any little girl can play Dorothy. That's such an easy role. It's really a nothing kind of role, Dorothy. And I was like, really? She said, I'm having a really hard time casting the other roles. And I was like, well, what's the problem? She said, because I can only think of one person special enough and strong enough and smart enough to play this one role. And I said, what role? She said, Kathy, I think it's going to be you. And I was like, which role? She said, Toto. I was like, oh, Mrs. Miller, I can do it. I'm the one. She totally sucked at me.
And there you have it.
manipulated me totally into it.
Yeah.
There you
little,
have it.
I had little pigtails and little dots on my nose.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's where the bark comes from.
This though gives you a little bit, this gives you options, Patrick. If something happens with Toto some night,
there you go, see?
Well, Kathy can fall into
that
role.
I'm starting to think, you know, there's the musical Cats. Maybe we could do Dogs now.
Right. Yeah. I've heard you've brought in some people that have told some interesting stories about growing up.
That's top five.
You know, you could write something about famous dogs.
Yeah.
There's all these famous dogs, Annie's dog and all.
All the dogs. Yeah.
That would be a hoot.
Yeah. And we can call it We've Gone to the Dogs.
Yeah. What a great...
I've got a bone to pick.
Yeah.
So in your role as Wicked Witch of the West, it is hard to project, you know, see you as that, but
I bet you're sweet. I mean, I know it's hard.
You are because you're very nice and sweet. But it's got to be a fun role to do.
Oh, it's great fun. I love being mean and green.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fun to be evil. I've always loved doing evil roles.
So when we were growing up, Patrick, Wizard of Oz, the witch and the monkeys, that scarred me. I mean, in fact, when I was real young, my mom wouldn't let us watch that part.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So you don't want it to be too scary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted it to be scary. Yeah.
Some of the younger kids, when she walks around like at intermission, they're frightened of her. Mm-hmm. Frightened.
Yeah.
One time, I'm out there in the house at intermission, and I hear this scream. I mean, screaming. At running to her mother and grabbing the child, grabbing her mother, because she was pouring water.
I was a host. I was a host. So I had my costume was covered and my hat was off and my hair was like not, but I was green with the nose.
Yeah.
And this little child was just terrified.
Right.
See.
you've done your job.
Well, I did my job that day.
You did your job that day.
Yeah. See, she didn't fail when she was on the floor.
Right.
But on stage.
I failed. If I get a laugh, I fail, according to Patrick Aker.
She's fine. I've had a lot of wicked witches in my life. She's very good.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert.
Well, and to do a show, to go out there and do a show where everybody knows, or they just about everybody knows it, everything, it's somewhat different.
When I go around the tables, we know who you are. We know who I said, I'm not in the show. And they look at me and say, you're not? I said, no, I'm not in the show. And then I always pick the oldest one. Usually it's a woman. And I just wink. And she knows exactly why.
Yeah.
I love the role. I've done it many times. Many times. I did that long 27 months. And I've done three other productions. So I've done it almost 1,000 times. And I have always delivered the gift scene at the end, not as a used car salesman, but somebody who works people. Like, why anybody can have a brain? That's a very, very mediocre commodity, you know, a salesman.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that the director said, I don't want you doing it that way. I want you to mean it. I want you to really believe you're going to help them. So many times I have a real hard time getting the lines out because...
Huh.
Always with the Tin Man. I have a great love for the Tin Man. But even now with the Scarecrow, best Scarecrow I've ever worked with. Mm. So, it's a pleasure to feel that when I'm done with giving out the three gifts, that I've actually changed someone's life as opposed to getting out of a bad, being found behind the curtain.
Yeah.
It's really a delight.
That is a different way to look at it.
You know what I love about that scene and what happens there? And so many times this is said, you know, family is not always just blood related. Family is... people we acquire in our lives for many, many years that not necessarily are my sister or my mother. And I think that that group, especially the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Lion with Dorothy, they're like a family unit. And so it's very poignant there at the end when Robert, he's almost, you're not, but it's a similar, Clarence the Angel.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like he's this person that we all think of him as the Wicked Wizard, but isn't it interesting that he's really a delight, you know? And so I think I embrace that. That's what I wanted to do at the end, and really make it. There's a moment when what is it, the line, Robert? And you say it's not the people, but it's the people.
I remember my my friend. Heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others.
And what happened? Well, you'll see it. But I have them all move down closer to the Tin Man, and then he looks and he sees them, and that's a beautiful moment.
Yeah,
you know, and that's. When we talk about doing The Wizard of Oz, you know, I don't know how many people think that deep about it, you know, but that's what I like to do. I like to find those delicious moments.
That line to me is what sums up the whole show. That to me is the heart.
Do you know when the director of that tour was from London, and they don't love Wizard of Oz in London like we in America? He asked me to switch that. A heart is not judged by how much others love you, but by how much you love others. Ugh. Huh. He had me switch it, and I said, you do realize that's one of the most iconic lines in the whole show. And the rest of the cast was from the United States, and I went, that's not right.
Right.
Yeah.
So we never did it on stage, but he suggested that way because it made more sense to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But that is such a way, as you described it, when you talked about, you know, how you deliver those lines, I had never thought of that. And all of a sudden, it was just like, it does.
And there's a lot of those, you know, when you look at the script, and even Dorothy at the end, when she talks about home, and that she has got that lovely monologue, you know, I said to Rebecca, you know, this is really delivering it here. Take the time, don't rush what you're saying, and really think about what you're saying and believe it. And so we've established some of those lovely moments in the show, and I think it's really nice.
Well, I noticed, Robert, the little bit when I saw just a little bit of part of a rehearsal, and that's when I knew, wow, you are so good at this. Before the tornado, and when you're in Kansas.
I love working with her. She is amazing.
Yeah.
Not only do I get to hear in the wings her sing Over the Rainbow, but I get to be on stage with her, and she's amazing. I have a personal thing in my lifetime. That's why I'm probably so attached to the show Wizard of Oz. But Easter Sunday of 2002, I was in Wizard of Oz somewhere in Maryland. And when I got home in my garage, a kid held me up. And actually shot me. Yeah, actually shot me.
No, for real.
I have a bullet in my head outside my eye socket. I walked to the ambulance, and 2 weeks later, I was back on stage doing The Wizard of Oz. And when I got to the Tin Man, I couldn't talk, and they knew I would have a hard time. So the Tin Man had all my lines memorized. And he said, you probably want to say this. You probably... No. And the audience, I'll never forget that. And since then, when it comes to the Tin Man, I reflect right in that moment how fortunate I am to be doing this 20-some years later.
Yeah.
It's
the kid was hiding in your garage?
I drove in my car into my garage door, and he came around and held me up with a gun. So
breaking
I know that's
news.
I know that's a twist of this radio, but that's why I'm so close to this show.
Sure.
And Patrick, more than a year ago, says you're going to be my wizard. So nothing got in my way.
Yeah.
Nothing. I was doing a show before Wizard that had a 3-month run, And I said, I can do the 2 months, but I can't do 3 months because I've got to do Wizard.
So this is more than a show.
This is it is more than a show.
And that's so interesting. Whether it's those, we don't know that as, you know, as an audience, but just the personal actors can have really personal feelings toward whether an incident happened or something in their life.
Yeah, it is. It's an opportunity to reflect on your life, because you're reflecting on, there's four people's lives up there.
Yeah,
the three characters and Dorothy.
Yeah,
it's. If anybody's listening and there's a chance to do Wizard of Oz, go for it.
It's a really great cast. All
yeah. Oh, yeah. When they came in a month or so ago, when we did a show, as everyone was leaving, I just said to Patrick, "Boy, I've never seen a cast with such." The show hadn't even gone live yet, and there was just so much cohesion with everybody, and I could see that the day I practiced.
It's a very close cast.
You know, it's interesting, the casting process. It is a lot about talent, but I'm very particular on picking up vibes from people. And you know, sometimes I think the casting, you know, you've done quite a few shows with me, and now you have. I mean, we really do end up with some really strong, strong casts. And I think a lot of it has to do with sometimes what I pick up on their personalities and get a sense of who's going to get along. You know, The minute I met Ari and Jordan, they came down and had an audition for me, and Robert had recommended them. And I hadn't even really gotten into the full casting process yet. And they walked in, and even before they opened their mouths to sing or do anything, they were just gentlemen. They were so nice. And so immediately my head goes to, well, what's not to like here? Right. With, you know, who?
He's wonderful. Jordan just won a Helen Hayes Award.
Yeah. And then
wow.
And then they come in and they do their thing. And Carson was with me that day. And I said, you know, I'm not even opening this up to anybody. But as far as I'm concerned,
we've got them.
I think it's done. And Carson said, I would agree.
Yeah.
And so that was it. You know, and a lot of times that's how casting works with me. You know, there's the go-to people that you have, like these two people sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the newer people that we hire, you know, I would have to say 88% of them are really wonderful people. You're always going to get one or two. But generally, my batting average is pretty good.
It is.
This show has no bad apples.
I agree.
Not one.
Yeah, I don't.
There's not one person that I would not say, oh, we get to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See it. Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, Wizard of Oz through July 14th. Much more coming up with Patrick Ahern, Robert Biederman, and Kathy Halenda this morning. We'll also talk about what's coming up at Riverside. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning and The Wizard of Oz through July 14th. RiversideDT.com for ticket information. Kathy Halenda is here. She is the witch in the show, not in life. Robert Biederman is here as the wizard, and Patrick Ahern, just an all-around good guy. He's here this morning through July 14th. And again, don't wait for these, because I have heard Patrick from all kinds of people who come, and the two things they talk about is the stage and just how wonderful the cast is. And that's what I've heard from a lot of people that have seen it.
Yeah, those are the two standouts, I would say. I was at my sister's maybe a week ago, and they were talking about, oh my God, the show, everybody's talking about the show on social media and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, not that the sales have been pretty good, but I was surprised that the first couple of weeks, like Friday and Thursday, were rather light, and I just thought The Wizard of Oz would be bango.
Yeah. You know?
But now that's happening. Now, because I think word is getting out that, no, it's not just the Wizard. It's not like a children's theater show. This is the real deal.
And you probably run into graduations and that kinds of things this time of year. But now it's picking up. So don't wait.
They sold over 400 tickets, you know, in just one day it was coming in, you know. So yesterday was a big day, and I'm sure to it'll continue for the next 4.5 weeks, is, you know. So that will, don't wait. You know, I just had to put in some tickets for my family the last week of the run, and it was like, oh crap, you know, you're going to have to be sitting further back than you thought you were. So, it's a hit.
And it's great for children, but it's also great for adults.
Yeah.
Adults don't remember. When you get into that immersive experience, it brings back the nostalgia of where you were the first time you saw it. And there are so many different things with this show, I think, that adults are really enjoying it. I always love it when I see adults that are just there for a date.
All my friends after the show, their first comment has always been, what an incredible cast of munchkins.
Yes. Yeah.
Seriously, these kids are great.
And that's such a big part of this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I remember we had quite a few kids audition. And the group that we've got, I think, are probably the best of the best. But I told the kids when I worked with them, I said, the only reason that I hired you because of your ages is because I was trying to hire people that were small. But I said, those munchkins weren't necessarily only 9 years old.
Yeah.
Some of them were much older. Mm-hmm. So I want you to all pick a name. I want your munchkin to have a name. I want you to think of them as more adult-like. Think of playing dress-up with your mom and dad's clothes. Think of your mom and dad or your grandparents. Pick up some of their characteristics. Play with your voices. And they all embraced it. It was just
kids. Yeah, that is a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because I didn't want it to be just, there's a bunch of kids, you know. And some of them, Joey Vogel, who this is his fourth show, I think, with us. He's the mayor of Munchkinland. And, I mean, I told him, I said, you should run for mayor. I mean, he's really embraced it. So, but they're delightful. And their voices are strong. So you really hear them just, you know, knocking it out there. So it's really great.
They're such sweet kids. They really are good kids.
So Kathy, just on a practical level, because your character changes so much, is there like a big makeup change for you, or?
Well, yes, Miss Gulch in the very beginning is, you know, your basic.
She's not spinster. She's not
town.
A very nice lady.
I don't have on.
That Miss Gulch is a witch.
She really is, yeah. But I just wear mascara. That's all I put on. I don't even put on lipstick. So I just go. I go from her to the witch in about 15 minutes. I have my makeup all set out, and I have my little spray bottle and all my brushes and the green makeup that they got, and a prosthetic nose that's really fun, and so that goes on. Yeah. So yes, it's a lot of fun. But I'm busy, really busy for like 15 minutes. Changing from Gulch to the Witch.
Yeah, okay. And I can just, I can't wait to see you, Robert, as Oz, because I just think when the curtain's pulled back, I can just see you just embracing that part of the role.
When I got here and they sent me down to the costume shop, and they said, they want you to try on costumes. Now, I did the tour 8, 9, 9, 10, 10, 11, for 27 months. I go in there, I went, these are my costumes. The very same, they made for me in 2008.
Really?
We rented the costumes from another production company.
I said, here's where I kept the heart, here's where I put the courage. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Costumes were one, I just thought, you know, we got a really good deal on renting them.
Yeah.
And they're really wonderful costumes.
Incredible.
And, so somebody's taken very good care of them over the years. And the company that we rented them from is a touring organization called Apex, and it's part of Prather Productions. And they bought them from, was it Networks?
Networks. Yeah. I mean, this costume was built for me.
And it came, well, talk about full circle.
Yeah.
And following you around.
I put it on and I'm amazed. I'm amazed that it still fits.
That's the other thing. Congratulations to you. You've stayed fit.
16 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the role, this role is mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What, one, just one real side, and we'll talk about this another time in depth, but just talking about costumes and things, sometimes when people will sit down and just say, I don't, you know, ticket prices, why are ticket prices like this? There are things, are so many things involved that just, you know, us regular patrons don't think about.
People don't understand the costs that are associated with producing quality theater.
I mean, you can look around and say, well, there's this, and this, but there's those kinds of things. But
and the orchestra is amazing, but they don't work for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's many elements, and we are able to keep it down, you know, to not a bad level, because when all is said and done, it's still under $100 to see a show and have your meal.
Yeah.
Most of your shows now in D.C., just to see the show is $100 or more.
At least.
No meal with it, mm-hmm. You know. So, yeah. And then, of course, if you go to a Broadway show, well, forget it now. I mean, you're up at probably the cheapest ticket is $250. So.
As I always say.
Yeah.
As I always say, get your Riverside season tickets and forget this stuff. This Broadway stuff.
Well, no, I don't want anybody to forget seeing quality theater. I think you should always try to do that. But we're doing it too.
Right.
Here in Stafford
don't
County, Fredericksburg
Don't
region.
Sink all your money into just one performance.
And so don't think that, you know, we still have some people in this area who I have heard from friends of theirs and so on and so forth. Oh, we don't go to Riverside. We go to the Kennedy Center.
Right, yeah.
Well, a lot of people will come and say, we just saw such and such at the Kennedy Center, and this is so much better. So, you know, realize that we've come a long way at Riverside.
Oh, every show is so good now. 26
years.
Every single show. And I mean, I've seen Kathy, you...
2011.
Years and years of doing this, and both of you are just so top notch.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And that's what you mean. You.
We both like working there, so.
Yeah, it is. It's just the whole atmosphere there.
One of these days, I want to do a commercial, and have testimonials from all the people that come in from out of state. Mm. Hmm. We have so many people. I mean, we just looked at some data, and we're realizing that about almost 20% of our audiences are from outside Virginia.
Wow.
They come in from Maine, New York State, West Virginia, Pennsylvania,
Florida.
The Carolinas, Florida, mm-hmm. Georgia. I mean, and a lot of them come back. They make it, was my goal, to make it a destination place to come and see great theater. You know, right on the I-95 corridor. It's just a quick off.
Yeah, off so easy. I just was talking to somebody the other day from Northern Virginia.
It couldn't be easier. Right?
Who does, they live in Northern Virginia, but they are huge. Anytime there's an Agatha Christie show around, and mm-hmm. they're going to come to Murder on the Orient Express. Yeah. And they said, it's the first time we've ever been to Riverside. And I just said, once you come, you'll start coming to more shows down here.
And they will see the two of them, because they are going to be in Murder on the Orient Express.
Seriously. Well, then we can get the group together again before that. Wow.
Bien sûr. Certainement.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
speaking of which, what Murder on the Orient Express is coming up. Then you and Sally Struthers are doing a 2-week.
We are
a little 2-week thing. Yeah, you might want to start learning some lines.
Yeah, really.
Well,
he gets a cheat sheet.
Love one.
Yeah. I get a cheat sheet. Yeah, no, because it's done with the script. It's right there for you. You don't have to.
Wait a minute.
You're so not fair.
It's not fair.
It is.
Well, if
right
you were
there.
Reading, if you had a letter that you had received from a loved one. You wouldn't have it memorized. You'd read it to other people.
Yeah.
Well, that's how this works.
But you can't stare at the letter.
It was done, and it says in the, you know, the notes in the script that do not approach this theatrically. Approach this just as it is. Don't make it more than it is. And so they want you to read them as if you're reading the letters.
Huh.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because you never stutter when you read a letter from somebody. You read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I want to know it really well, so I'm not going like the car, to, you know. But
the characters have read those letters over and over again.
Yeah, it was put together. The playwright is A.R. Gurney, and when it was done, I think it was put together. A lot of celebrities did it for a long period of time. It was first done at the Long Wharf Theater in Connecticut. I think Joanna Gleason and I can't remember who the man was that did it. And they would do it. A lot of theaters would do it as a benefit, and they'd bring in two celebrities. And so the celebrities didn't really have to do much rehearsing. They show up and there you go.
But there's some chatter between the two of you that are not, it's not in the letter. I don't know the show.
Most of it's all the letter.
I think it is all the letter.
Oh, yeah.
Am I wrong?
I think it's all the letter. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but it's delightful. It's really charming, you know. And my goal is to break Sally up on stage because she's hard to break up. She's so good at breaking up other people.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm one of few people that can really make her, like, belly laugh. So, yeah. So come and see Love Letters, and you never know what kind of surprise you might get.
Love Letters, Murder on the Orient Express. This is where when I know the year is going on when we start because
we're
this,
almost
these,
at the end of the year.
When we talk about Carol King.
Yeah.
That just seems so far away.
Yeah, it's
and
not.
It's, yeah, right yeah. around the corner.
Matter of fact, today I have a production meeting for Beautiful. Mm. Yeah. Our first production meeting.
Who's directing that? Oh,
no, Jacques.
That's right.
Jacques Linderlong, who was a Coal House Walker in Ragtime.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's
young too.
He's young, but boy, oh boy,
he was great.
He was smart.
The role,
talented young man, and that's it. It doesn't matter how old you are,
right?
Yeah, it matters where your head is.
Yeah,
yeah. So
quick break. We'll wrap it up this morning. Wizard of Oz at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts through July 14th. Kathy Allend is here. Robert Biederman's here. Patrick Ahern is here. We'll be back on News Talk 1230. WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern is here. Kathy Hollend is here. Robert Biederman is here this morning from Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. Wizard of Oz through July 14th. And you put it early on, Patrick, when we were talking about just saying, you know, the people at first were thinking not coming because they know the story. This isn't your normal Wizard of Oz production. And I saw it the first time when I walked into the theater and just to see that stage of how it comes out. But you lose a lot of tables because of that stage. But it's just so just impressive and how you use the whole thing to tell the pre-tornado part of things and then the Oz. You will never forget it.
No, I wanted the audience to feel like they were part of the show, that they were the villagers or whatever of Kansas, and then ended up being Ozians in over the rainbow. But I have done nothing to the story, because some people have called the box office and said, is this the real Wizard of Oz, or is this some crazy thing, and did they change the, you know? No, it is exactly the Wizard of Oz. If it's not broken, don't fix it. But the way it is presented, the environment that's created, and the cast is just, you know, that you would think they are those characters. That's what's so special about it. And the show's got a lot of heart.
Yeah,
a lot of heart. It's touching. You know, the minute you hear the overture, when the orchestra starts playing that music,
I'll get goosebumps.
Yeah, it takes you right back. And you know, we need that.
We do
in these days. You know, so much craziness in the world. There's a comfort.
Yep.
To nostalgia. And so, yeah, it's you will remember it for a long, long time.
Kathy, do you have a... Oh, go ahead.
And the Toto's worth seeing. He's so cute, the Toto.
Yeah, I haven't seen Toto. I can't wait
So he has the best curtain call every show.
Do you have a big witch's hat that you wear?
I have a witch's hat and a witch's wig and a witch's outfit and witch's nails and a witch's nose. And yeah, I'm witchified. Totally witchified.
And lots of green.
Lots of green. Mean green.
And I know you told me that there are flying monkeys in this.
There are.
Which I can't.
There's flying monkeys. There's winkies. They all come out, you know. Yeah, it's the Glinda comes in on her bubble.
The crows
with the scarecrow that his buddies are there, and
there's,
yeah.
There's got to be the red shoes.
Of course, yeah, they're there. No, everything that you would think of in Wizard of Oz, it's all there and more. There, and one thing I do want to give props on. I want to come back to the music. David Landrum, who is our music director, did an absolutely wonderful job, not only with the cast, but with the orchestra. They play the music beautifully, and it's essential to the show because it's not only how they accompany the singing mm-hmm. parts, but it's the incidental music in between that infuses the emotion, and the, you know, all of that is so great.
Yeah.
And then the choreography. I mean, how many times have I said... Stephanie Wood,
she's saying
Harrington,
no more.
You know,
she's involved. Yes,
it's just oh my gosh. And we do this number that was cut from the movie called The Jitterbug, and a lot of times people won't—they'll cut it from the show. They won't do it because I've heard from different people. Oh, it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good. She's knocked it out of the park
right.
with that number, and she's knocked it out of the park in. When they first come to Oz and all the Ozians come out. And it's, you know, where do you think you're going to see tap dancing in Oz? Trees tap dancing. And she's done an absolute beautiful, beautiful job. And I'm just lucky to have a great team of collaborators. Yeah.
Robert, do you have a, I guess you've got to have a hot air balloon at the end.
Yes, we do. You'll see.
I know. Yeah.
You will see.
Yeah.
Don't want to ruin everything here.
Yeah. And there's a lot of hot air, too.
Yeah, a lot of hot air.
I can't wait to see the end, though, because you've given me a whole new perspective on you know, the giving of the heart and the courage and all of that. And
that's why I love this production so much. When he said, I wanted to be real. I've never done it that way. It's always been, hey, I got something for you.
It
really is, I've got something for me.
You know, I need to give a shout out to my nephew. You know, you don't always get to do that. But my nephew, Adam Dodd, who is a tremendous, wonderful videographer, he has done some amazing work for us at Riverside with just some of the promo things and the commercials he does for TV. But he did a lot of our magic with the green screen work for this show.
Yeah.
And
you guys do such a good job with that.
It's so neat to be able to, you know, you always like to work with family, but you're cautious about that because you don't want it to seem like nepotism or anything like that. But he is so super talented. I really appreciate the work that he has done on the show, and he loves it. He comes in. He did a lot of our video work for Bridges of Madison County
which was so good. Yeah. All that black and white stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, just a shout out. Anybody out there looking for great video work, he's your guy.
He's your guy.
RiversideDT.com, Wizard of Oz through July 14th. Patrick Ahern is here. As always, great to see you, my friend.
Yes.
Robert Biederman, Kathy Halenda here. Can't wait to see you two on stage. It's great to have you here, and I hope to get you back during Murder on the Orient Express.
Sure.
Thanks so much. Go see the play, RiversideDT.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks
see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.